we're not going to delay the time. We're going to go right ahead. We thank God. We're joining in now with our Facebook family. We want to welcome you to the service.
Yes.
Amen. And we're going to go right ahead. There is a word from the Lord.
Yes.
And we want to get you right into it. Now, y'all know, those of you who've been with us, that we have been working our way through talking about Christ in you for 2022. Amen. Not that he was not with us and in us last year, but we want to make it amplify the fact that Christ is in us. That's the whole idea of discipleship. It's an increasing knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done.
Yeah.
And not only that, but what his mission is to the world, because he does have a global mission.
Amen.
He sent his disciples out, his apostles. He sent them out to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And that's a big job. But they've been there, the work they did and what Jesus invested in the 12, including the apostle Paul, is phenomenal. Because you and I who are here thousands of miles away, thousands of years later, are saved because of the same gospel that left out of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
After Jesus had defeated death in the grave.
Yes.
And got up in Matthew 28 and 18 and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. There's never been a man who could ever say that.
No.
Although it is the lust of man that desires to have such authority. There is one looming on the horizon who wants to have that authority, who is known as the Antichrist. But really, there's only one who has that authority, and he is Jesus Christ. And he cannot be imitated, although he will try. The Antichrist will try to imitate Christ. And you know what? He will be successful with people who do not know who Christ is and what the character of Jesus Christ is. And the scripture tells you that. The whole story is comprehensively put in the Bible by God, the Holy Spirit. And it's already been predicted that there will arise an Antichrist. And I like to just amplify that, because every time I hear that, my immediate thought is that there are a lot of people in the world who say they know God. People are not ashamed or afraid to mention God. But the God in the Bible is the one who we're talking about. We're talking about the God who sent his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. You know, you can talk about God among all kinds of people and not even really have any problem or get any trouble until you mention Jesus. That's why God has made Jesus the focal point of salvation. There is no salvation without the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except by me. And God the Father said the same thing in Psalms number 12 that we looked at a couple of lessons back. He said that you kiss the Son or he will be angry when you, and you will perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Psalms 12 and 12. See what I'm saying? Psalms 2, I'm sorry, and 12. I get myself worked up here. But the fact is, without the Christ, there is no salvation. Because Jesus Christ is the one who paid the bill for ungodly wretches like me. He is the one who shed his blood to cover my sin and your sin if you believe in him. If you try to come to God without him, the scriptures say you come as a thief and a robber. He said, I am the way, John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
No.
And no one can come to the Father but by me. One way to come to the Father. So we're talking about intimacy with the Son of God, who is the second person of the Godhead, who has declared all power. Now, why should we believe him? I'm going to let the cat out the bag early today. Why should we believe Jesus? Because he is the only one who went in the grave, was crucified on the tree, died up there, shed his blood. He was bleeding all night long, all day, hanging up on the cross. And nobody took his life until he dismissed it from his own body. That's one proof that he was not just a man. Because you know what? You can get hit with a bullet or get cut or whatever. And if you don't get to the hospital pretty quick or somebody can stop the blood, in about 5 or 10 minutes, you'll be gone.
Yeah.
But Jesus bled.
Yeah.
All night long. All day long, all morning, from early in the morning, clear on over until afternoon, hanging there between two thieves. The blood that he shed was proof that he was not a regular man.
Amen.
And he shed that blood not just for himself, but he shed it for you.
Amen.
That blood was shed for me.
Amen.
Without the blood, there is no salvation. Without the sacrifice, there is no salvation. So what you and I need to do, who have trusted in Jesus Christ, we preach this to the world, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, the Christ. Nobody is like him. He is the one and only. But God gave his only Son so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Perishing means to be eternally separated from God.
All right.
But you should not perish, but you should have everlasting life. Everlasting life is a relationship with God.
Amen.
It's not going on forever and ever. You know why? Because all the souls God made are going to go on forever and ever. That's not the issue. It's not about time. It's about relationship.
Amen. Amen.
John 17:3, Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Life eternal is about a relationship with the Almighty God. It's about having fellowship with the Almighty right now. It's not tomorrow or when I go in the grave or in the grave by and by.
Okay.
The relationship is right now. That's why the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Accept him right now. That'll be the best thing you ever did.
Amen.
And when you do, he said, "I'm going to come in." He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And then he said, "If anyone opens the door, I will come in and sup with you. And you with me. We're going to dine together."
Amen.
What's going to be the meal? My word.
Amen.
You know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. When you get a taste of the truth, you sup with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then you can now have fellowship, intimacy with God. That's what relationship is about. You know what? I'm happy to know he accepts me just like I am. But you know what else? He's too perfect and too righteous and too pure to leave me that way. But in my fellowship with him, in my relationship with him, he's cleaning me up. He's fixing me up. His blood is the soap and the detergent that I need for my dirty soul. His word is water to wash me and make me clean. The word says, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing from my sight." How are you going to do it? Get into his word. The psalmist said that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm going to show you how to walk in the truth.
Yes, he will.
But you know what? You need to believe him.
Yes.
The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. See, if you diligently seek him, that's the part he's excited about. He's not a Sunday only God. I'm God 24/7. In the leap year, I'm 366. Just to make sure you understand. He said, "I'm an all-time God. I'll be right there in the moment that you need me." So we want to learn more about that. How do we mature in the things of God? That's what we're talking about. When we say Christ in you, that's just the initial time when you accept him and you realize, "I'm broken, I'm lost, I can't make it without him, and I heard the good news that God loves me." Yo, that was the hardest one for me right there. God loves me. Boy, boy, I couldn't accept that. Because you know why? Because I do need. If you know you, you might be thinking that too. Why would God love me? I know exactly how wretched I am. I know the way I think and where my mind goes at different times of the day and night. I know about the things that still have a grasp on my soul. And he does too. So then you try to rationalize in your human thinking, why would he love someone like that? And that's what we think from a human perspective. So this is when you have to get away from what you think. Get away from the people who might have raised you and told you, you know, you ain't no good. You ain't gonna never amount to anything. The kind of stuff people say to destroy you and break you down. You ain't never been any good. You can't do nothing right. You a mess. They talk about you, put you down. Put a stain on your spirit. But God says, I love you just like you are. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For in me you will find rest for your soul. God says, I take you just like you are. Doesn't make any difference. You know, he told his disciples, you used to fish for fish, but now I'm going to make you fishers of men. See, you're going to catch the fish. Don't worry about cleaning them. You catch them, I'll clean them. You pull them up in the net. Drop down the net, tell them I love them. Pull them up. And when you get through, turn them over to me. God says, I will clean you up. I will make your life clean. How am I going to do it? Because you're going to attend unto my word, and my word is going to get you clean. But without me, you can't do anything. The word is the cleansing agent and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to everyone who trusts and believes the gospel. And we call it gospel because it's the best news in the world that God loves us just like we are. But you know what else? I always say this, and y'all know you're going to say you know what's coming next, right? But he loves you too much to leave you like that. I'm going to fix stuff you don't even know how to fix it. You don't even know how you got to where you are. But I do. That's what God's saying to you. And I can fix it. That's why we did that when we were doing the anointing and the prayer today. God said the issues that you all have, and it's not just us, this is his disciples everywhere. I'm the only one who can fix it. There's mess in your life that can't be fixed except God fixes it. And God says, I will fix it. We sing a song, Jesus, he will fix it. And we mean it. He's going to fix it for you. But you know what? He can't fix it if you don't come to him. Jesus said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in me you will find rest for your soul. So this is what we're talking about. Is how do we press on towards spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity means that I hear what God says. I become a disciple. I begin to study what he says. And I begin to apply it to my life.
Amen. Amen.
It's not just to know it. It's not for intellectualism.
All right.
You know, because a lot of times the scripture says to him who knows how to do things right but does not do it, to him it is sin. So when we know it, that makes us even more accountable. Because now you know it's right, you just won't do it. That's that stubbornness that's in the fallen soul. But God says, I got a fix for that too. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my spirit in you. And my spirit is the third person of the Godhead. We got a lot of people like to deny what the doctrine of the Trinity. There is no Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But that's true, it's not. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are all in the Bible. And the Bible says they are equal in every perfection. See, every way they are equal. You can't have one without the other. So we teach the doctrine of the Trinity. That means God has, and you know what, that should be small potatoes for God who can make the heavens and the earth. If you can make the sun, You can do anything. Think about that, the sun, 193 million miles from the earth. It's been burning as long as I've been in the world. My grandpa told me it was burning as long as he was in the world. That's amazing. How can something be burning and it doesn't burn out? Scientists, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm not against science. God is omniscience. He knows everything about it because every bit of it he created. So don't go get so smart because you figured a few things out. But as we continue to learn about obstacles to our salvation, this is what we've been talking about. Let us consider the first step in this process and the main reason why we must learn to rely on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this is what makes the gospel. There's so many things we can't talk about them all in one sitting. But the first thing, let me say, that makes the gospel fascinating is that you can take it right now. You don't have to do anything but change your faith, the direction that you believe. Turn your faith toward God. Say, God provided his son, Jesus. You shouldn't have trouble with that because he put him right in the middle of your time system so you could easily believe him. We're not sitting up here counting time based on nothing. It's 2,022 years since he was born. That's in your faith, so I don't care who you are. I don't care what you teach. Doesn't make any difference what you believe. The only one in that spot is Jesus. How did he get there? God put him there because he wants you to believe him. He made it easy for you to believe him. He put a date based on him right on your birth certificate before you even could do anything about it. There it is. Now we have people trying to change all that right now because it's a fact. And they hate it because it's true.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you ought not hate it. You ought love it. Because God loves you. That's why he did it. That's why he put it up there in your face so it'll be difficult for you to say it's not so.
Amen.
You can call it a myth, but I would think you have a brain problem.
Right.
If you think it's a myth and everybody on earth is counting their time based on the birth of Christ, I think you need to check yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know who can help you if that's the way you think. But the fact is, God loves you. And the gospel, what makes it so good, is you can get in on it right now. Let me say this before we get into this, and I'll try to be with you as briefly as I can. You don't have to be a scholar to be saved. I can look in the Word and find out what people who were born blind, like in John chapter 9, never read anything. He just believed Jesus. And he was saved. There were some deaf people who couldn't hear a word. He gave them the ability to hear. They didn't know anything about the, very little about the Bible, whatever could be communicated to them without words. But he made God say, blind Bartimaeus was on the road, and he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he got saved. So it's not about intellect. Intellect is a good thing if it's used to the glory of God. But you don't have to be a scholar or a brain surgeon to get saved. All you need to do is trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. God says, I will take you right now wherever you are and I will not stop until I get you where I need you to be. And you want to hear a verse for that? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. God says, I am confident in this very thing. He which hath began a good work in you shall continue to perform it, even unto the day of Jesus Christ. So I take you right now, wherever you are, just come by faith. Believe that my son was crucified for you, that he died on the tree. And he did that by his own free will. Nobody took his life from him. He told the Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So he was in charge even of his death. See that? And death is simply when the soul is separated from the body. Jesus told his soul when to get going. They did all this, hung me between two thieves, humiliated me, spit on me, mocked me, ridiculed me, flogged me, beat me, did all of that. And they couldn't kill me. You know why? Because it was written in the Word. So now y'all are through. You've done everything. Jesus said, it is finished. What's finished? Everything he said, Father. I came to do your will, oh God.
Amen.
That's what it was written in the scripture. Then he said, okay, so Father, to thy hands I commit my spirit. Boom! Send up a perfect spirit back to God. The scripture says he gave up the ghost. Oh, KJV. So he died on the tree. But it was written also in the word that he would be numbered with the transgressors. They hung him between two thieves. And he would be with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, let him borrow his tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. He didn't mess it up, though. Let me let y'all know. He took care of the tomb. It was clean when he got up out of it. Because there was no corruption, neither did his flesh see corruption, the scripture said. So when Joseph went back, he was still using his tomb. It was unused. Essentially, it was just borrowed. And those of you who study what is on time, you know we say on one end of life Jesus borrowed a womb, on the other end he borrowed a tomb. Because he only needed it for a short time. When he got up, he declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then he dispatched those 12, and it's because of them that we are here today. So we rely on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have to rightly understand that as step one. That's how you get initiated into God's family.
Yes.
You don't come by any works. The Bible said it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his great mercy.
Yes.
That he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness that we have done. So it's not about you doing good works. It's about you having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So for by grace you have been saved, Paul says, through faith.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves. See that? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about. So we come to God with empty hands, broken heart, full of sin. Say, Lord, I entrust your son. I believe the gospel. That he died for my sin. And got up on the third day night, according to the scripture. Declared all power is given to me. Come on in. And when you get in, say, I need to be baptized, but that's his next command. That's his first command to the saved sinner, is be baptized in water. And the church does that part. That's where we get a part in it. But it's him who has baptized you with the Holy Spirit, even before you ever get up and walk out. So I want you to see something about God's house. Step one is getting an understanding of salvation from the word of God, which he has provided for everyone who chooses to receive his wisdom through the preaching of his word to as many as receive Jesus Christ. To as many as receive them, it says in John chapter 1. To them he gives the authority to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. To as many as receive him, that's whoever you are, whosoever will. So here I want you to see something about pressing towards spiritual maturity. The psalmist had it together. Psalms 84 and 8 says, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy court is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Look at that, the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Look at that. He said, no good thing will I withhold if you walk uprightly. Get saved, accept my grace, accept my mercy. Find you any place in the house of God. No matter what it is, he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper. This is the king right in here. Just let me be anywhere in your house, Lord God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace, notice that, and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. Who do you trust in today? So many times in so many religious systems, folks are trusting in rituals. Oh, I got to go get this and get that and get the other, all kinds of rituals. to be saved. I need to put ash on my head and walk around with some ashes. Ashes are not going to save me. The blood of Jesus saves me. By itself. Nobody putting ashes on your head gets any credit. That's a man-made foolishness. Jesus didn't suffer to any ashes. He got up out the grave and his flesh did not see corruption. He rose up out the grave in the body, sprinkling you with all this kind of stuff. None of that is helping you. The blood of Jesus alone is sufficient. Trust him. Don't go let the devil tell you you need something else. There's nothing else that you need. Like the songwriter said, nothing in my hand I bring, but only to your cross I cling. Strictly to the death that you provide and the blood that you shed. So these are the things that you and I need to think about in order to mature spiritually. The devil always wants you to think you're inferior somewhere. You missed out on something. You got something missing. The truth is, I got everything I need in Christ. Christ is all in all. He said, without me, you can do nothing. But in him, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So spiritual maturity must become the focal point of our worship, which means the setting aside of life without the influence of God's word. You want God's word to influence every part of your life. And the impact of personal fellowship with God through the Spirit and the fellowship with others who are like-minded, that's what we call the church, and focused on accomplishing similar goals. That's what we are. We're people who are focused on accomplishing similar goals because God has called us from whatever walk of life we're in to come together as a body in Christ. And when we come together, we should feel like the psalmist. What position is open? Is the doorkeeper open? Is the custodian open?
Yes.
Can I mop the floor?
Yes.
Can I clean the dishes?
Yes.
What do I need to do in God's house?
Amen.
What position is open that I can fill?
Yes.
You need somebody to vacuum the carpet? I'm here.
Right.
You need somebody to go help to the homeless and the sick? I'm here.
Right.
You need somebody to go to the jail and visit the imprisoners? I'm here.
Right.
Whatever position is open, I'm here. Any position in God's house is a good position.
Amen.
So we need to have a right disposition about who we are in the house of God.
Amen.
Sometimes we get so lofty we don't want to do certain things. And we want to meter out how much time we give God. But God has given us every breath that we take. And every step that we make. Making every assembly of God's people and services to him central in our life. You know what? I center the rest of my stuff around the church.
Amen.
The church is first.
Amen.
I'm not going to neglect the church. Because I don't want God to neglect me when I'm in the middle of a business deal. And when I'm trying to do something outside of here, I need him to be there with me.
Amen.
So I'm going to be here for him if I can get up and come in.
Amen.
And if not, roll me in, please. That's where I'm at. Roll me up in here. I'm coming in however I can get in. Because I want a fellowship with God's people. No matter what it takes. The psalmist's prayer is based on biblical knowledge. This is one thing we can see when we look at Psalms 84. He's referring to an Old Testament patriarch named Jacob. He didn't live at the same time Jacob lived. He was hundreds of years up the road from Jacob. But he came to know the true God. And so he looked at God's word and took it as advice directly from God. So I see what you did for Jacob, O Lord. We can do that too. I see what you did for Joseph of Arimathea, God. I see what you did for Peter, the apostle who couldn't stop running his mouth, kept getting in trouble. You can do that for me, Lord. I see what you did for John. I see what you did for all these various people in the word. So we need to learn to pray like this psalmist. He says here, through many trials which taught him to trust God. This is what happened. Jacob went through many trials. He learned to trust God, but it took him a long time. I want to say you can cut to the chase if you like today. Stop struggling with God and start walking with him. Factor him in what you're doing every day. Don't struggle like Jacob had to keep going to end up getting his hip dislocated before he figured out, I'm trusting God. And I'm going to walk with God, even if I got to walk with a limp. Jacob was limping by the time he got toward the end of his life. But he said, you know what, I trust God all the way to the end. The scriptures say he blessed his children leaning up on his staff because he was broke down in the physical. But now I trust God completely. But it took him a while. So the psalmist looks at that. And he learned to trust God through all things and to celebrate the presence of God even over negative circumstances that may be presently in your life or for any reason, and to continue to hold on to God's promise until he received the blessing. Remember Jacob wrestled with the angel?
Yeah.
All night long. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And that's why he got touched in the socket of his thigh. They call it the hip. In other words, it was dislocated. But the fact is, wrestle with God. You got issues? Take it to God.
Yeah.
Struggle with him. Cut Dr. Phil and all them off. I can't take your advice. I got the advice of the Almighty. If I'm telling you something that's not in accordance with the Almighty, it probably won't work. I'm relying on a false pretense. But Paul says this to the Philippian church, and we can take this home. He says here in Philippians 3:7, notice this, but what things were gained to me? In other words, before I got saved, there were some things I thought that were putting me ahead. Those I counted loss for Christ. I'm exchanging what I was trusting in for Christ. No matter what it was, maybe it was a job. Maybe it was a person. Maybe it was a business of some sort. Whatever it was, cash it in. I'm trusting Christ. From now on, that doesn't mean quit my job or quit my business. It means I'm taking Jesus with me when I go to my job and to my business. Now, I know some of us may have a profession we can't go back to if it was that bad, and I understand that. But you know, if you go back, be an evangelist. Let the folks practicing that evil know that you got changed. Break out with a song. I know I've been changed.
Jesus.
You ought to be excited about that.
Amen.
And this is why Paul says even when we lose someone, that we don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. Because we know what happens when you are submitted to Christ.
Amen.
See, so we have hope beyond the grave. How much more should we have it in this life? So Paul says, it's not as though I have already attained. He said, by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect. See, now this is the apostle. Saying, I haven't gotten to the fullness of who Jesus is yet. I have not become perfect. But I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, Christ called you to take you to a higher level.
Yeah.
I called you to lift you up to a higher level. To a higher level in God.
Amen.
To more authority in the spirit. To more authority over the flesh.
Yes.
To more usefulness in the body of Christ. That's why I called you.
Wow.
I'm not going to fail. But you know what? I'm not going to force you either. One of the key elements in Christianity is submission of your own free will.
Amen.
God wants you to do it because you know it's right.
Amen.
And you want to do it. He didn't want to force you to do anything. That's what the devil was doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to force you to stay in this sin and that sin and on this dope and on that whatever. Whatever it was, he wants to force you and take you into it. God says, no, I want you by your own free will.
Yes.
To rise to the level that I have promised.
Yeah.
How do you do it? By faith.
Yeah.
Trust me. Put my word to use and to effect in your life. And notice it, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it. Paul's writing this, the writer of this letter. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See that? I change the way I do this. I'm not going to look back anymore and fault myself for what I didn't do, but I'm going to look far. From this moment forward, I'm going to trust Christ because I can't undo the past.
Nobody.
The only one undid the past is Jesus.
Yeah.
He went in the grave and got up and said, okay, grave, that's it. Give me the keys to death and hell. And I'm up out of here.
Yeah.
Now, he has called me and you to faith in him. Paul says, I'm not going to look back, but I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Then he admonishes me in you, verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything otherwise you be minded, God shall reveal even this to you. So the Apostle Paul teaches us that we must not lose heart on our Christian journey, but rather to set our minds and eyes on the goal of the future glory and lean into the projected direction of the truth of Jesus Christ's perfect provision for us together with all the saints, and press toward the mark of the high upward call of God while allowing God's word and spirit to correct us along the way. As you know, God says, as you are going, I'm going to be fixing you up. One verse in the Old Testament says that you'll be hearing a voice from behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in.
Yes.
See, God wants to show you the way.
Yes.
You got to be listening. Have your ear. Listen. Have an open ear so God can tell you when you're walking in the right way.
Yes.
Amen. If you're here today and you are not saved, we want to give you the invitation right now to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And even if you are saved today and you want to go into a prayer time as the deacons come to make available to you church membership, we'd like to give you that opportunity at this time as well. But if there's some personal thing in your mind that you want to release today, we can do that as we wait to see, are there any who would like to respond to the call for salvation or to the call for church membership or even to the call for baptism? Some people are in the church and have not been baptized for some reason or another. Let me tell you what happened to me as we wait. You can come at this time. Whoever you are, feel free to come at this time. I was out for many years. I was raised in the church, in the Methodist church. Nothing against Methodists. I have nothing against them. And I didn't know any better. But I got sprinkled when I was in the Methodist church as a little kid. I remember the day. I can see Reverend Cummings in my head and how rejoicing he was, how powerful he was, coming to me